Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, I haven't seen you folks in a day or two. Well, I'm happy to be here with you this morning. I really am. I think it's great. I'm going to bring you a message this morning. It may sound like a basic message, a very simple thing, but it's one of the first things that you come in contact with when you come in contact with the Scriptures, but it's something that you need to nurture all your life. It's not just for the young. It's for everybody. Young and the old, even me. And I'm old. Let's see. In Sunday school class, if I can find my place here, I ran across something while our teacher was reading to us, and it's this 117th Psalm. I'm going to read the whole Psalm to you. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people, for his mercy, kindness, for his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise the Lord. I tell you, that's got a big message to it right there. Two little verses. So we need to praise the Lord for all goodness that he's shown to us. Get my marker out of there. Can you all hear me all right?
Yes.
Okay. My artificial ears don't tell me how loud I'm talking. It's just how good I'm hearing. And I even hear my footsteps on the floor anymore. I didn't do that for years. Have you ever said or heard somebody say that they felt like they didn't have enough faith or that their faith wasn't strong enough to carry them through the trials that they're involved in? Have you ever heard that?
Yes,
I have. I've heard that quite often. Your faith is something that has to be the strongest thing in the world. Your faith in God. You have to know that God's there. You're not going to get seen, not while you're here, but you have to have faith that he's out there. He's looking at you and he's with you. Let's stop and think for a moment about the many prophets and followers of Christ who have gone before us, whose faith in God and his Son, Jesus Christ, has been so very strong. This is without having the knowledge that we have of Christ who died on the cross for us all. Think of the major things that we are confronted with during our lifetime. When we read them, read about them from time to time in the Scriptures. We've even had a witness from the Scriptures of being told by the Lord that they will have eternal life, that we will have eternal life, or they will too, which is because of their faith. I'd like to back that up a little bit with a reading in 11th chapter of Isaiah. It's on page 283, and I'm going to start on verse 120. And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord. Excuse me. I got two pair of glasses, and I like to wear them both, because I can read with one and I can't with the other. Yeah, start again. And now the spirit of Alma was again troubled, and he went and inquired of the Lord what he should do concerning this matter. For he feared that he should do wrong in the sight of God. And it came to pass that after he had poured out his whole soul to God, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, Blessed art thou, Alma, and blessed are they which were baptized in the waters of Mormon. Thou art blessed because of thy exceeding faith in the work alone of my servant Abinadi. And blessed are they because of their exceeding faith in the word alone which thou hast spoken unto them. And blessed are thou because thou hast established a church among this people, and they shall be established, and they shall be my people. Yea, blessed is this people, which is willing to bear my name. For in my name shall they be called, and they are mine. And because thou hast inquired of me concerning the transgressors, thou art blessed. Thou art my servant, and I covenant with thee that thou should have eternal life, and that thou shalt serve me, and go forth in my name, and shall gather together my sheep. And he that will hear my voice shall be my sheep, and him shall ye receive into the church, and him will I also receive. Okay. For behold, this is my church. Whosoever that is baptized shall be baptized unto repentance, and whosoever ye receive shall believe in my name, and him will I freely forgive. For it is that it is I that taketh upon me the sins of the world, for it is I that hath created them, and it is I that granted unto them that believe in the end a place at my right hand. For behold, in my name are they called, and if they know me, they shall come forth, and shall have a place eternally at my right hand. I don't know what others think, but I think that's a pretty good invitation, and that's a pretty good place to be, and that's a good target for us to all shoot for. If we get a chance to spend some time at the right hand of God, I mean, what more do you want? That's a pretty good blessing. We've read the words in the scriptures many times. They always tell us the same thing, that we're to love God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength, and keep his commandments. That's what it says. When we reach the age of accountability, we all have a responsibility. When we reach the, I got that in here twice, to choose who we will serve. If we choose to serve God, then we will be willing to go down into the waters of baptism. Then we receive the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost. This will put us in a straight and narrow path. However, this is only the starting place. If we do this and keep his commandments, we will have the joy of seeing his promise fulfilled. For those who have received, for those who may be able to receive our promise as well, we must keep in mind that the promise he has given, he will keep. I say that because in the scripture he says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes he blesses our reasons. Other times they're worse. I'd like to read a little bit out of Alma, the 5th chapter, 24th verse, on page 324. I got a little preamble here. It says, our faith must be strong and remain so all our days here on this earth. Now let's read some from Alma, speech given to the people of Gideon. Now I say unto you that you must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not. Lay aside every sin, which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and show unto your God that you are willing to repent of your sins and enter into the covenant with him and keep his commandments and witness it unto him this day by going down into the waters of baptism. And whosoever doeth this and keepeth his commandments of God, keepeth the commandments of God, from henceforth, the same will remember that I say unto him, yea, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. And now, my beloved brethren, do you believe these things? Behold, I say unto you, yea, I know that you believe them. And the way that I know you believe them is by the manifestation of the Spirit which is in me. And now because your faith is strong concerning that, yea, concerning the things which I have spoken, great and is my joy. For as I say unto you from the beginning, I had much desire that ye were not in the state of dilemma, like my brother. Even so, I have found that my desires have been gratified. For I perceive that ye are in a path of righteousness, and I perceive that ye are in a path which leads to the kingdom of God. Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight, and I perceive that ye have made known unto you, you by the testimony of his word, that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, or from that which is right to that which is wrong. Therefore his course is one eternal round, and he doth not dwell in the unholy temples. Neither can filthiness, nor anything which is unclean, be received into the kingdom of God. Therefore I say unto you, the time shall come, yea, and it shall be at the last day, that he which is filthy shall remain in his filthiness. And now, my beloved brethren, I have said these things unto you, that I might awaken you to a sense of your duty to God, that ye may walk blameless before him, that ye may walk after the holy order of God, after which ye have been received. And now I would that you should be humble, and be submissive and gentle, easy to be entreated, full of patience and long-suffering, being temperate in all things, being diligent in keeping the commandments of God at all times, asking for whatsoever thing you stand in need, both spiritual and temporal, always returning thanks unto God for whatsoever thing you do receive, and see that you have faith, hope, and charity, and that and then you will always abound in good works. And may the Lord bless you and keep your garments spotless, that you may at last be brought to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the holy prophets, which have been ever since the world began, having your garments spotless, even as their garments are spotless in the kingdom of heaven, to go no more out. And that's what our objective is to be able to get our life developed and to have our faith strong enough and our belief and trust in God that we would be able to earn the opportunity to spend our eternity with him there. I like what it says in verse 33 and 4. It says, "For I perceive that you are in the paths of unrighteousness, and I perceive that you are in a path which leads to the kingdom of God." That's the path that we work for. That's where we need to be. We need to walk there all the time. Not once in a while, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays. We need to walk there 7 days a week, 365 days or 366 days a year, because that's what's going to get us there. That's no variableness. You need to set your path and you need to follow the words of God. Well, let's see. Can the strength of our faith be affected by the material things of the world? What do you think about that? Can your faith be affected by the material things of the world? I think they can. I'm afraid so. Let's open the Bible to Matthew here. Well, I don't have Matthew here. Hey, no, I'm in the wrong place. Got my notes all messed up. Anyway, I want to go over to Matthew. I'll just open the book and read it. I'm going to start with the 19th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew. Read a couple, three verses here. It says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great that darkness. Be pretty tough. So we have an opportunity, but it's in our control. And if we do the right things at the right time, we'll see the results of it. You should always be aware that Satan's around, because he's always there tugging on our shirt sleeve, trying to lead us away from God. He will always attempt to lead us away just so he can entrap us. It's been said that Satan will tell us 1,000 truths just to get us to believe one lie. All I can say is to be very, very cautious of following along with the crowd. Be sure their course is the same as the Lord would want you to be on. You know that following along with the crowd is something that I see happening more and more all the time. I don't see the decision makers that used to be in the world. I see groups of young people and groups of middle-aged people and groups of old people that follow the other guy. They're doing the wrong thing. You're supposed to follow the path that God gives you, because he'll lead you. So many of these the young people and the young middle-aged group of people get a confused mind, and they get led away to destruction. You read about it in the newspaper all the time. That's terrible. But it can be controlled. It can be controlled. You just have to listen to what the Lord tells you to do and do those things. Not because the crowd's doing it, but because the Lord says to do it. Let's see. I want to go back to the Book of Mormon here. I want to go to 3 Nephi, page 648. Third Nephi, 8th chapter, the 12th verse is where I'm going to start. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be taught. So they taught their little children and set them down upon the ground round about him. And Jesus stood in the midst, and the multitude gave way till they had all been brought unto him. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst and commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and saith, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of this house of Israel, of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did hear, or did bear record, which heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before, so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto his Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray unto the Father. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them. And bade them arise. And they arose from the earth. And he saith unto them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. And when he had said these things, he wept. And the multitude bare record of it, and he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again. And he spake unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, my little ones. And as they looked behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open, And they saw angels descending out of heaven, as it were, in the midst of fire. And they came down and encircled these little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them, and the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true, for they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And there were in number about 2,500 souls, and they did consist of men, women, and children. So no one was left out. No one was left out. They was all involved. They was all there. And they all got to hear the same message. How wonderful it must have been to have had this time with Jesus and hear him make the statement, "Blessed are ye because of your faith." Something to look forward to, because we can be in that same place. How can we adjust our way of doing things and thinking about things so we'll be able to increase our faith? That's a question for you. What can you do to increase your faith? Because if you go and ask God to help you and Jesus, they will do that. But you have to get the rest of the trash out of your mind, and you got to be serious about what you're doing. Your heart has to be right. Your mind has to be right. You can't be full of hatred or discontent. And he'll hear. He'll listen to you. Okay. I want to go back to Matthew next. It says, "Can you recall when you were younger and played a game of hide and seek?" Anybody remember that? Hide and seek? I used to play that when I was a kid. We didn't have any money. We couldn't do anything else, but we could do that. And see the final scramble when you heard, "Here I come, ready or not?" Everybody tries to get hit real good. But afraid that guy's going to catch you, and you're going to have to do that the next time. See, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I can remember that. Well, that's something we need to keep in mind to use in our current time frame, because Jesus is coming, ready or not. Are we going to be ready? Now I'm going to read the 24th chapter of Matthew. 24th chapter and 36th verse. No man knows the days, what my subheading is here in my Bible, but that's what it's telling you. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven. Excuse me. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days that are before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah, that Noah entered into that ark. And they knew not until a flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall be two in a field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. And two women shall be grinding in the mill, and one will be taken, and the other left. Watch, therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready." Now, this is not Warren Johnson speaking. This is the words of the Scripture speaking. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man may come. The Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful? Who then is a faithful and wise servant? Whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayed his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink and be with the drunken, the Lord of the servants shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware, and he shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Which group would you rather be with? Let's see. I don't know what I did that for. We've talked about several things today, and hopefully some of them will help strengthen our faith. If we do, this will help us to become better followers of Christ, and we can even become more worthy of the blessings that He holds in store for us. I'd like to close with a reading from 2 Nephi, which I really like. If I can find it here. It's the 13th chapter, the 24th verse, page 162. We've heard this many times because it's the true doctrine of Christ. And let me share it with you now. Disgusting. 24th verse. For the gate by which we should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in a straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and the Son. And you have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye shall be received. That same thing applies to each one of us again. And ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesseth of the Father and the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should be received. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay. For ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and all men. Wherefore, if ye press forward, feasting upon the words of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And now behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God without end. Amen. It says here, verse 31 makes everything very certain. When it says, Now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven whereby man can enter into the kingdom of God. Let's all live our lives as God's asked us to live, and love one another always. I thank you for your patience. I pray that you all have a good day. Get my tools here. Yes, go down to it.
Thank you, Warren. We'll have lunch immediately following this service. All are invited to stay. Let's close this morning with use of hymn number 259. 259. Our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father,